This episode of the Android Central Podcast is brought to you by ShopAndroid.com, your number one source for Android smartphone accessories. To save 10% on your entire order, enter code AC10 at checkout. Orders over $50 ship free, and international shipping is available. Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 220 for Friday, January 30th, 2015. Can't believe January is almost over. It's almost like we don't have calendars and know when things are coming, but we do. So welcome to the show. I'm Phil Dickinson. I run this little thing occasionally. Actually, these guys, you can't see them below me yet, but I can see them down there. They're down there. They're below my microphone. That's where I keep them. We have five of us again this week, and we'll just go through the gang. Jerry Hildenbrand of West Virginia.
Hola. And I bumped my mic. I hope that made a neat noise.
I do that all the time. I still like to throw this thing. I love, especially the desk I have now, the arm is on there really good, so I can just...
Put one on the other side, and you could be like an Apache helicopter.
Ooh, I should. That'd be cool. Andrew Martinick in Seattle.
Hey there, how's it going?
I figured we'd start with the guys with the two biggest headphones and just work our way down from there.
Russell's got some over-the-head headphones, too.
He does, so Russell Hawley.
Everybody. I almost feel like my headphones are inadequate now compared to Andrew's and Jerry's. I might need to get bigger ones.
You have can envy? That's not going to end well for me. Alex Dobie in England.
Hey, everyone.
You're not even... Oh, you are using earbuds.
Yeah, I got in-ear things. I'm using one of the like five sets of headphones in this room right now.
And that's what I have. I have my trusty Bose. What's everybody have, actually? Let's just plug all our headphone companies, and maybe they'll throw us money or something.
Yeah.
What are you using, Jerry? What are those?
Motor headphones.
Oh, that's right. You reviewed those, didn't you?
Yes.
I love nuts over those things.
Nice. So, like, turn your head so we can see them. There they are. Nice. So, for all you guys listening at home and not watching the video, well, trust me. It's Motorhead. You know it's cool.
Lemmy personally gave these to me.
It's Motorhead, so you know it's good.
Right.
All right, Andrew, what you got?
These are Samsung level ons. Thus the on ear, yes. I think Jerry looked at the over ones previous, which are Bluetooth. These are just wired only.
Those are really, really good headphones, actually.
Really?
Really comfortable, too. They're really nice.
Russell, what are you using?
I'm using Audio Technica. I think they're the ATH-M50s. Or maybe the M50X. I don't remember. Audio Technica needs to have fun names for their products instead of boring letters and numbers.
True. Alex, are you just using like random...
I'm going to use my regular ones. These are just like random HTC things that came with an HTC phone. My normal ones, I guess, are on-ear, like wireless LG ones that have a name that I cannot remember.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
So there's that, yeah.
These are my old Bose that I used to travel with everywhere until I got the noise-canceling ones, and oh my god, it changed my life on airplanes. Wow. I still love these. These are more comfortable, but the other ones, the noise cancellation, it's incredible for what they are. They're expensive, though. I mean, these weren't cheap either, but wow.
For noise-canceling? I'd just like to turn the volume up to 11.
Well, I mean, that's the problem. You had to, just to get over the airplane noise. It's obviously not good for your ears, but...
What?
Exactly. Exactly. So, with that shameless plugging for companies that aren't giving us anything whatsoever out of the way, I wanted to start off this week actually going back to last week a little bit, because we kind of struck a chord with everybody in this Clean Master thing.
Did not expect that to get out of hand like that. But
well, hey. I mean, it's funny because we know that you don't need an app like this, but obviously either a lot of people don't or a lot of people just want it and see it, and they're like, oh my god, I need this, because I mean, millions of people have downloaded it. So as soon as we, you know, said anything, it just, you know, started getting emails immediately like, hey, do I need this? I just found your podcast because you said the word Clean Master, and thank God for SEO.
And not only did they download it, there's a lot of people actively using it and seeing, mm-hmm. you know, results from using it. And I think the biggest thing that I came away with reading a lot of the comments was, yes, it may do something, but that doesn't mean that you needed the app installed to do those things.
And that it's kind of... it's smoke and mirrors. I mean, it's don't let your phone get hot because it'll get hot and you'll catch on fire and you'll die. Well, I mean, no. Jerry, I want apps to run, right? And apps occasionally make your phone a little warmer. The CPU warming up is not a bad thing.
The system is designed for apps that you will probably be using to be running and ready. And
clearing the cache, that was the other one.
Just
Terry's speechless.
I don't want to jam on this company. You know, they provide a service that obviously people like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. Are you really saving time when an app doesn't take a second to open because you used CleanMaster when you took 10 seconds to use CleanMaster?
Well, and then what about the extra time now when you cleared the cache on an app that now just has to recache things again?
Yeah. Which you actually heated the things. So I'm going to use one of these apps, and doesn't have to be CleanMaster. That's the one we're talking about because it has, you know, millions of downloads. So obviously we're going to name drop it. But I'm going to use this app to clear the cache, but when the cache is rebuilding, my phone's going to heat up. And then I'm going to use CleanMaster to get rid of these processes so my phone cools down.
Well, that kind of begs the question, does Google need an icon on the dashboard for the things that they already do?
No. Google needs to steal a page from Apple and use splash screens so you think it's doing something when it's not really doing something instead of having a second of no activity. That fixes it all. It makes us happy that it's doing something when it's really just showing a splash screen.
We're going to talk a little more about that probably in the next week or so. We just started our little antivirus series today. By the way, if you haven't noticed, so and I know I wrote a little something about this last Sunday. We're going to take more series. It's not really a word. More looks at things in series. So instead of just 30 random stories throughout the year on something, we're going to purposefully look at things. And we started off with Nest just because I felt like it, really. Because it's a cool product. I have one, Russell has one, and it was something we could easily talk to each other about, I think. So that's why we started with that, just kind of randomly. And
wait.
What?
I thought it was because you all slept on a pile of Nest money.
It absolutely is. You know it. Because
Tony Fadell is a good friend.
Yeah. No. We started with Nest just randomly because I have one. It's cool. I wanted to see what Russell knew about it, so that's what we started with.
Well, and nobody talks enough about it. It's a cool product.
Yeah.
There are a lot of questions out there about
it. And it's really the beginning of this whole connected home stuff, I think. And that's one of the biggest questions I have about this, and especially coming out of CES, which I kind of called the Internet of Crap, because, instead of Internet of Things, there's so many things that can talk to each other, but I have literally no idea where to start. So for us, I figured, all right, we'll start with something that Russell and I both have, and a couple other of us in the company have one, so figured that'd be a fun place to start. Russell just started this antivirus series as well, and I think I know a lot of the answers to these questions, but a lot of people out there don't. So that's what we're tackling now. Jerry and Eric have been working on Google Play, and we're going to start that up next week. So you're going to see a lot more kind of serialized looks at things, in addition to all the newsy stuff that we still have to do and all the device reviews and all the events we go to. But that's a real push we're making this year. So I figured CleanMaster kind of launched us into the antivirus thing, and Russell, and I guess everybody, because we all contributed to this and we all kind of know the answer. Flat out, do you need to run an antivirus program? And that's a separate question from, do I need to be worried about viruses? So let's ask it twice, maybe.
No, you don't need to have antivirus software on your phone or your tablet or your Android TV box or any of those things.
More importantly, though, does it hurt anything if you do use it?
Well, if the app is from a reputable source, no.
He's good. He's really good.
I mean, not to give away any secrets, but one of these pieces in this series might be, hey, what apps do you guys, if not recommend, what at least should I take a look at? So,
what's the whitelist kind of?
Yeah. Recommendation. We're probably not going to get to all the ones that are out there because there are so many at this point. There are a lot of crap ones out there. Every now and then you see a story that, hey, here's this app that pretends to do something. And it's really just placebo effect and they're trying to get money. So we're going to stick to just these are the ones that we've looked at, that we see, and we know a little bit about the companies, so start here. If you want to keep looking, do it. So it's going to be an interesting thing, and I'm curious to see the feedback about it.
And guys, don't lose your biscuits before you read it. I did, and then I read what Russell wrote, and I'm like, wow, we're doing a really good job on this.
Jerry's been so worried. He's been so worried for like the past week. He's like, you guys don't know what you're starting. No. It's going to be funny. And again, that's not to say that viruses and malware, and I put a little note at the top of Russell's piece, we're going to use those terms interchangeably just because consumers do. We know there's a difference between an executable and malware. Come on. That's why we have Jerry here to explain these things to us. These things are out there, but they're generally easy enough to avoid. And if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you already know how to avoid them. You know that Google's checking up behind you on the server side and on the device side. You know that there's this check so that you know unknown sources can install themselves to your phone without you having turned that off first. I mean, there are all these things. I install a lot of apps. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't ever had to deal with this, I don't think.
I had to go looking for one, and that was several years ago.
I remember that.
And it was harder than you would think to try to get malware on my phone.
I think the main thing that your average person might come across with, if they were to come across malware, would be, you know, these random pop-ups that you get in Chrome or whatever that will tell you, oh, your Android is infected with a virus or whatever, like, go and uncheck unknown sources or whatever, and you might not necessarily know that something that pops up on a web page isn't the same as your device telling you something, and you might be kind of socially engineered into downloading something without actually actively going and looking for it.
Right.
Yep.
That's a problem. We've seen it on Windows computers for years.
Yep.
You know, a subject you're interested in, hey, check this out. This toolbar helps you find that better, and when you click it, it installs a toolbar and a bunch of other nonsense.
It gets my grandparents.
Like, one of the easiest ways to get an actual piece of malware on your phone, go install some pirated apps.
Oh, well.
Grab yourself a third-party pirated app store and take a look. I dare you.
It happens to my grandparents all the time. My grandfather calls me back there. He's like, my computer's not working. It's got all this crap on it. What happened? And he's just clicking on stuff. I took off 5 toolbars the last time I looked. He had a Chromebox for a while. Back when I think Google's handed out Chromeboxes left and right, I left one over there for him to try, and it worked for a little while. There was just, you know, certain specific things he couldn't do on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're going to, you know, not so much tackle, but just discuss with these things and just hopefully help make people aware of it is really what I want to do. I don't know about you guys.
Sure. I want to answer any question anybody has, no matter how important I think it is.
And actually, I meant to tell you guys, and I'll say it now in public, but Russell's done a really good job of getting in the comments afterwards and answering questions. And I think as the rest of us do our pieces, we need to remember that as well, because there's a lot of good stuff in there. There really is.
Yep. And then there's other stuff.
I'm telling you now, if your comment's going to be, how much did you get paid to do another story on this topic this week? The answer is going to be 0, and I'm going to delete your comment, and I'm not going to care. I will sleep just fine because this is our job. This is what we do. And if, you know, I'd like to think most of our readers are sophisticated enough to read a series of things, and one or two stories a day is not out of the question. So that's where we are on the whole antivirus thing. I mean, there's nothing really security-wise this week, was there? Newsy? I'm trying to think. They're all blurring together.
I mean, there's always the, if your Android has Gingerbread on it, you could be susceptible to this new malware.
Yep.
But nothing else. I mean, no big deals.
Fair enough. What else is going on? You guys want to talk about we've got a good question in the Q&A already from I'm going to screw your name up and I apologize. Ashish? Hopefully I got that right. Please ask about the HTC One. Otherwise, Phil won't talk about it. Phil and team, what do you think of the EV Leaks version of the HTC One M9 leak? So I guess last week we talked about the Fandroid one that had the button on the side. And then Evan came out with a couple more, right, Alex? It was actually 2 images?
Mm-hmm.
two images, one of which, you know, small on a big phone, not too surprising. There have been rumors to that effect for a few months, actually. A HEMA and a HEMA Ultra, supposedly, is in the works. They kind of look like what you might expect the next step of HTC design language to look like. You've got speaker grills that look a little bit like the Nexus 9. You've got a big Desire Eye-style front camera on this thing. You've still got the metal sides. It looks like probably a wraparound metal design. It looks maybe a little bit more chromed out than the M8. Beyond that, you know, kind of a small image. We don't really see anything on the screen. But it does look like the front of this, if the image is accurate, is going to be all glass, as opposed to on the M8 you had the glass front, but also the plastic fronts of the speakers. So they've presumably gone to an all-glass front. You'll have a plastic trim around the side of the glass, it looks like, and then a metal back panel. I mean, it looks like the next step of that design language you'll be seeing from HTC from the past 2.5 years, going back to the M7, the DNA. Looks like a nice phone. Again, it's difficult to tell from a little 400 by 400 image, but it looks like a much more sort of credible idea of what the next HTC flagship might be, as opposed to the image that leaked the other week, which is basically looks like a kind of a modified M8-style design. Like we said at the time, maybe one of these fake ID things where they put the guts of the new phone inside a modified version of the shell of the old phone. The interesting thing about the big phone of these two is, and we actually, there was an image that showed something similar to this a couple of weeks ago that looked kind of dubious, but there is people are calling it either a fingerprint scanner or a home button, some kind of thing beneath the screen, some kind of rectangular button-like thing on the larger device that people are thinking maybe a fingerprint scanner. Of course, HTC did that a couple of years ago with the One Max. But on the front this time, very much in the style of the home button on the Note 4. So, yeah, we'll have to see. The little one looks like the next step in HTC design language. The big one, similar kind of look, but you've got this fingerprint scanning thing on the front, possibly. We'll have to wait and see what they do with that.
I know nothing. So I don't know what to tell you.
You're not podcasting from your M9 right now, Phil?
Yeah, not so much, no. I mean, we'll find out in a month and 2 days, I guess.
We sure will.
Or maybe 28 days in February. It's not a leap year, is it? No, it's not. It's good to know.
That would really throw a wrench in those MWC flights that I have booked.
That would change things a little, yeah. Should we talk Microsoft a little bit? I'll deal with this. You guys, relax. So I guess yesterday the Wall Street Journal, not even the Wall Street Journal proper, but their Digits blog, had a story that said Microsoft was investing in Cyanogen, the company, not, you know, Cyanogen Mod, the ROM. While the two are related, you definitely, I think, need to speak about them separately still, right?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yes.
So, I mean, and that's basically all it said was, hey, Microsoft has invested in it. We don't know how much money it was, although it was a minority share in a $70 million funding round. And then there was a whole bunch of background, and you had quotes from this Q&A with the information that I had read last week and read Kurt McMaster's, you know, quotes, and it was interesting stuff, but nothing that I wouldn't expect a CEO of a company to, you know, a little bit of bombast, a little bit of, we want to take Android away from Google. You know, we've all seen that great quote, which I knew was going to be totally misused once it was in there. But it just ran and ran and ran with it. And the comments, and I haven't done, you know, custom ROMs in forever. I'm outside of that community. But I'm pretty good at this editing thing, and it was pretty clear. This was a little bit of news in the form of this anonymous source, or several, and then a whole bunch of background, right? Here's CyanogenMod, here's what they want to do. There was some other stuff, and it just, it kind of painted this picture that I don't necessarily think was fair to anybody here. Microsoft investing in a company that does Android really shouldn't surprise me all that much, right? I mean, they have these weird Nokia Android phones, which are kind of separate from Microsoft, but not really. I mean, they've done devices with Android guts and Microsoft services, right? We saw them at Mobile World Congress last year. They were pretty, you know, not great devices, but I get the principle of it.
They make a lot of great apps for Android as it is.
Mm-hmm.
that are freely downloadable in the Play Store for anybody.
It shouldn't
be surprising that Microsoft is aware of how to develop for Android.
You know what it started to remind me of, and I didn't put this in the post because I don't think there's any reason to, but it was when Steve Kondek, who started CyanogenMod, we all know Steve, but when he went, when he worked for Samsung, just all the speculation of what Samsung was going to do with Steve and what it means and all this stuff that nobody knows what the hell they're talking about. And it's as simple as that, right?
I'm supposed to know what I'm talking about before I say things?
Well, I mean, let's not go that far, I guess.
But it's a game changer.
I see Russell down there nodding his head.
There was no information. It wasn't a useful post. And I think people ran with it because, it's potentially exciting and it's also potentially alarming if you look at it in the wrong light. We know that that the guys at CyanogenMod are planning on replacing or offering their own versions of Google services and apps here over the next year and a half. And it would be weird, but not impossible for Microsoft to play a hand in that.
And we keep saying that, like, it's a big, like, it's a bad thing. Like, if CyanogenMod were to offer alternatives, CyanogenMod were to offer alternatives to Google's Android, like, that's a bad thing and it could never possibly work. But guess what? That's what Amazon's doing, and it's working. Not necessarily working as well, and it also doesn't mean that Google's going to stop making services.
But all the nerds out there are going to remember the last time Microsoft tried to get an open source operating system to help better provide for their services, and that was SUSE, or SUSE, depends on how you pronounce it, Linux, which went from a really great up-and-coming version of Linux to an utter and total piece of crap because they tried to please Microsoft over money. And if that's what you're worried about here, I'm right there with you.
Our pal Shinny just reminds me on Twitter, and he's absolutely right, that Microsoft makes a lot of money off royalties from Android, from Android devices at this point, right? I have two ideas on this, and again, completely uneducated, and it's just my, those of us sitting in the chat room at AC kind of guess, and that is, one would be something to do with apps. CyanogenMod, I could see needing some sort of app store at some point, and Microsoft kind of has a hand in one. And in fact, I think like our old crappy app is still floating around out there in it. And the other would be pay to play. So you invest in the company, you get to peek at what they do.
Well,
and it could be as simple as that.
Well, the biggest thing we all need to remember is Kurt McMaster said they want to wrest control away from Google, and that was taken completely out of context. Mm-hmm. But no matter how you take that quote, it probably and may not have anything to do with Microsoft investing money. These are two separate situations people are lumping together.
Exactly. So nobody needs to freak out.
Microsoft probably thinks they can make a little bit of cash, and they're investing. Who knows what all they invest in? I'll bet if you dug deep into that, you'd find lots of things that surprise you.
That anyone sees it as a bad thing is just ridiculous to me. If anything, I mean, I get the whole tech bubble and overvaluing companies, but I think it's, if Microsoft wanted to invest in Android Central, I'd be like, hell yeah. if we were in that sort of business, it's friggin' Microsoft.
Could I get one of those cool Outlook polo shirts?
I'd get you a Scroogled shirt.
Oh!
I have a Scroogled mug at home. Do you? Is yours coming apart? Not coming apart, but like the printing
it's
on it?
It's starting to fade.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
There's irony there, isn't it?
Yeah. They cheaped out on the materials, so they're cafe press mugs.
It's not a real coffee mug, Phil. You got to get a real coffee mug.
As long as it has caffeine in it, I don't care what it looks like. Just inject it right there.
Even if it's selling your personal data, Phil. Jeez.
Take it, as long as I get my caffeine fix. Yes. and I think if anyone out there is able to properly push Google in terms of services, we need competition in that stuff. It's super important. That's why I like to see, iCloud hopefully getting better and not doing stupid things. And for, as much as I hate Amazon for locking things down and not sharing, I think it's a good thing to have competition in that space.
But it's Microsoft that's going to push Google. I mean, we would love Apple to step up, like you said, but Microsoft, what they don't have expertise in, they can afford to buy. I know Apple has a lot of money, but Microsoft has a very different portfolio, and when it comes to engineering and services of a technical nature, I would put my money behind Microsoft in a minute.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens, but just, the hand-wringing has been ridiculous.
How great will it be if Google starts to slip, one of their services starts to lose traction, and Microsoft gains? Imagine what Google will do to make it better.
100 times better.
Yep.
So, that's some deep stuff, man. I still have no idea what that old Microsoft thing was you were talking about. Like, I don't have any sort of reference.
What? SUSE Linux?
Yeah.
As soon as Jerry said that, that took me back. I ran SUSE for a while.
I'm just saying. Look at that over there.
It may be completely unrelated, but it went into the ground after they took money from Microsoft. And I know, if you haven't already seen the comparisons yet, you will from the old tech nerds on the internet. And I can't blame you for being worried. I'm a little worried, too. But I'm going to try to put on a happy face. So.
All right, well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I don't know, we'll find something else to talk about. Anything. Something. Somebody think of something. It's been ridiculously cold throughout the U.S. this week, even here in Florida, but that means it's a fine time to talk about Igloo. No, not the homes made of ice and snow, but Igloo, the software company. And Igloo makes an internet that you'll actually like, whether you're an IT type or just a dude doing your thing in a cubicle day after day. Igloo is built with easy-to-use apps like file sharing and blogs and wikis, and it's got built-in social capabilities, shared calendars, task management, and more. It's really just, you know, everything you need to work better in one configurable cloud platform, that little thing. And with Igloo's responsive design, your new intranet will automatically work on every device there is. Android phones, Android tablets, desktop browsers, and Android phones and tablets. Okay, also on iOS and BlackBerry and Windows Phone too. So you'll be able to check up on that document from a coffee shop in Amsterdam, or post a project update from the airport in Paris, or check on how many vacation days you have left while you're on the beach on the Big Island. Plus, Igloo's file preview engine is HTML5 compatible, so all that pesky JavaScript just comes right through loud and clear. So if your company has one of those legacy intranets that looks like it was built from 128-bit DBase back in the 1990s, you need to give Igloo a try. Just head on over to igloosoftware.com/android to get started. That's igloosoftware.com/android.
Do you want to do some live breaking news, people who are listening live?
Oh, I guess we could do that. Sure, go ahead.
So if you're one of the lucky people with a 2013 Nexus 7 LTE, your Lollipop Factory image is now ready to go and download.
Great.
5.0.2.
I'm excited.
I think Phil probably has one in a box propping up a table somewhere.
Still running like ginger jelly bean or whatever.
Yeah.
It's somehow running gingerbread, that's how.
No. I did have one. I gave it to a good home.
Oh, okay. Somebody would use it. Good.
I'm relatively tablet light at this point. By the way, we're back. I've got an LG G Pad 8.3 sitting over the tablet. Oh, I was hung there for a minute. I could see the side of my head. That wasn't a pretty sight. I've got the Dell tablet sitting here. By the way, the review is just about done.
Measure things.
Yeah, I can't measure things because that piece of software is not live in the retail version.
I know. I just wanted to see you go off.
I could ship you this Galaxy Note Edge if you want.
I could buy a $5 measuring tape and actually accurately measure things easier. Seriously, are you going to use a tablet to measure? Like, I get why the tech is cool, and I actually kind of understand how the tech works, but why in a million years would you, if you have to rely on measuring something, why would you stop, pull out a tablet, turn it upside down, take a picture of it, hope that that measurement is actually accurate instead of just carrying around a $5 measuring tape?
Right. Let me reach down here to my back.
I'm all about people actually learning how to measure things with manual methods. So
you carry these in your backpack. That's what a real nerd does. I just reached down and took these out of my case. If you need to measure stuff, Phil's right. Buy something to measure stuff.
I get the tech, and the tech is actually, I mean, imagine that sort of tech, and if you haven't seen it, it's these three cameras here, right? And the oversimplified version of the math is this tablet knows how far apart these are from each other, so it can figure out, all right, here's how far apart these things are in the image. Here's how, you know, it's relatively simple math if you know the equations. But imagine that in, say, a security camera. That makes a little more sense. Or even if it was built into a phone, and I get you have physical obstacles there. But, so, you know, in an 8-inch tablet, it's just silly, I think.
So augmented reality gaming would be awesome with it.
They can actually measure how tall I am when I walk out of the 7-Eleven instead of having that thing marked on the door frame.
Yeah, it's exactly what I thought it was, Jerry Steele and stuff, yeah.
What a dude!
Not just Jerry.
Okay, that's better. All of us.
I think Alex likes to steal too.
No, I'm not discounting the fact that the technology is really cool. I just don't see its place in any way, shape, or form. With the way that they're doing it right now, I think Russell mentioned the augmented reality. Sure, it has applications in that way, but as a thing to just lift up your tablet and measure the height or length of things.
Nope.
I don't get it.
This is a family podcast, but I know we all thought of it. What you could measure with the tablet.
It's stop
perfect
it.
For Snapchat.
Stop it. I don't know if it's... Never mind.
Powered by Intel.
I'm going to get emails.
Well, I didn't say anything. I just... You know you thought of it.
Alex looks upset. What are you upset about, Alex? I was kidding.
I'm just checking our newsroom is writing up the news. That's why.
Oh, okay.
Not upset, just in deep concentration.
He's actually working.
If I would, making sure other people work.
That's my job. Fine, you can have my job for the next 10 minutes. You want to dive through the Q&A, see what's going on there?
Yeah. Let's take a look.
Anthony asks, got an Nexus player as a gift. I really want to be able to search for media on Netflix using the voice search, mostly so that I can have my daughter use it so I don't have to say the cursed name of Caillou anymore. Do you guys know Caillou? Russell probably does.
I know Caillou.
Caillou is this weird bald-headed kid that there's a cartoon of, and for some reason parents hate it. I mean, I don't hate Caillou any more than I hate all the other stuff my kids watch.
I didn't know that's how you pronounce that name.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was.
I like Caillou better than I like SpongeBob.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What? I'm done. Yes. I'm
SpongeBob,
done.
Yes. SpongeBob is banned in my house.
But he lives in a pineapple under the sea.
SpongeBob SquarePants. Can you do the second line?
Russell's kids, if you're listening, you can come to my house and watch SpongeBob.
I will let them listen to this podcast just so they can hear you say that.
Does Netflix not work in the search yet?
Not yet, and it's the same with Amazon's voice active thing. It's weird. Netflix has been talking about voice activation stuff since they first teased it on the PlayStation 3, like a year and a half ago. And it's still, like, for some reason, their APIs still don't exist.
I have I've been playing around with the Nexus Player a little more this week just because I felt like procrastinating. And I just kind of get this feeling that either nobody's working on it or they're working on a lot of stuff and just waiting to push it out. Because I don't want to say half-baked, but, like, it still feels really early, even though we've had it for a while. You know what I mean?
Yes and no. I still think that this is Google saying, hey, if you want to build a Android box that hooks up to your TV, look, you can build one. Why don't you make a good one? Here's how it can kind of work. And it's just an example thrown out there.
Yeah, that this was kind of reference-y. And,
yeah. Which is okay. It's not so great if you're a consumer and you want it now. But, I mean, we saw with Google TV, there at the end, the Asus Cube, it was, I mean, they injected their stuff into a little bit of everything, and I don't think Google liked the direction that was going, and that's a big part of the way that the whole Google TV was scrapped, and here's what we hope is better.
TV pass through.
And it's not like we're not getting more games for it, or not just games, but ads. But Qbert got added this week. I was playing Qbert a little bit when I was wasting time.
And then I reminded you how old you are.
Yes. I was explaining arcades to my kids last night, I guess. Boop, 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 boop. No, it was yesterday morning War Games was on.
And I was sitting there watching War Games and explaining War Games to my 8-year-old who doesn't know what an arcade is, has no idea that computers used to take up entire rooms.
Have you not let her watch Wreck-It Ralph?
I think she has, but I haven't watched it, so.
That's like the arcade tutorial, and Q-Bert is in that movie. You really should.
Oh, well, there you go. Now I should watch it. See, she knows more than me already.
Yeah.
Huh. I miss arcades. We need something like an arcade. I mean, I guess they have, like,
there's an arcade not far from my house. It's like a crab shack for half of it, and then the other half of it is just this huge arcade room.
Huh.
And they're open like 24 hours a day. It's crazy.
The fact that it still
exists blows me away.
You're old, Phil. If you went to an arcade, you'd cry like I do. You can't go in there with a quarter anymore because all the good stuff costs a buck.
Yeah. Do you guys have the thing like me, like, you go to the arcade, and then immediately you have to pee as soon as you're there, and you just fight it and fight it and fight it. Like, as soon as you're playing, you get to a good spot, you have to pee.
I'm 45 years old. That's every day.
Fine. You know what we need to talk about is this Google Now stuff today. That's kind of a big deal, right, Andrew?
Yes, it absolutely is. And I think rightfully freaked out about how huge of a deal it is for Google Now to now pull in data from apps that you have installed, you know, and be updated by apps that you have installed rather than just being based on this kind of, I don't know if I want to say antiquated, but kind of basic system of getting an email with some special markup in it delivered to your Gmail address and having that be turned into a Google Now card. Now, you can have the Airbnb app or one of, I think they said 40 other apps that can, you know, they used Airbnb as a good example because, you know, something changes or you get an important message or, you know, I should say somewhat less than important message. So it doesn't require a pop-up notification, but it's more of a glanceable thing for you to see in Google Now when you swipe over there. And that's something that just couldn't be done with the previous system of sending emails. Because, you know, you don't want to flood your email inbox with a bunch of extra stuff just so it shows up in Google Now. And that's kind of where we were at before.
I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see how whether this becomes more open as time goes on. And if it does, how the line between notifications and Google Now cards, if it starts to get blurred or if there is a clear distinction there. Because if this is just opened up completely, like it's part of, you know, there's something in Google Play services that any app can hook into, you know, you potentially get the issues that you get with Android notifications right now, which is that they just become, you know, potentially become this dumping ground where apps can just nag you. I think what Google's going to try and do here, though, is keep it much more
on rails?
On rails, I guess more of a walled garden, for want of a better word, that it's stuff that Google approves and it's only stuff that they're sure is going to give people the best experience. So you're not left with a bunch of cards there that's just a massive list of all this crap that you don't necessarily want just because you have the app installed. So I think that will probably be the path that they tow, but it will be interesting to see what direction that goes in later on.
I mean, I want to see what limitations they put on the developers that they do allow in. You know, how many times per day can you push to Google Now? You know, how big can the cards be? How many cards can you put in there? Because when you look at Google Now, especially on a phone, you know, you can only see one or two cards in the top before you start scrolling, and that's extremely valuable real estate. In the way that a spot in your notification bar isn't as valuable. That's a huge deal if Airbnb, I mean, sure, you're opting in by having the Airbnb app installed or any of these other apps, but it's a huge deal for them to be able to put something at the top of Google Now as Google continues to push it as a big part of the Android experience.
All I know is the first time I see a card that says I can buy 100 crystals for $49.99, I want someone to lose a finger.
Well, that's exactly the thing I was talking about. You know, you've got all this stuff built into your Android now to make sure that apps don't misbehave when they're using the notification tray and ways to block them if they do. You don't necessarily want it to be opened up in the same way as the notification tray is because you then have to police it in some way. Whereas if Google's just policing it, you know, in terms of, you know, here are certain whitelisted apps and they're allowed in and no one else is, then that's a little easier to manage even if it is less open.
And even then, I still don't want to be, it's got to walk that line of not wanting to manage it. Google Now is all about giving you what you you know, what you want without having to tell it everything. It's supposed to smartly do that. And I'm afraid if it opens up too much that you're going to have a situation where you're going through and manually saying, I want this thing and not this thing and this thing. Going through a list of 40 or 400 apps to do that is going to be kind of a hassle.
I think you made a good point about the management of Google Now. I think with something like Google Now, if there is too much fine-tuning that you can do or have to do on your end, then maybe you lose some of the magic of that feature with it just being there and being convenient without you having to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes. I just want to see a little more smarts from Google as to the websites it's pulling from. That's been my number one complaint.
I've noticed fewer just crap Android news posts have been showing up. It used to be scraper sites, like people, you know, posts from Android Central that someone had copied and automatically ripped, because we get that all the time. That happens on a lot of blogs. And then suddenly this stuff is getting pulled into Google Now, whereas it used to be really bad a few months ago, not so much.
It's definitely gotten better. I want to be able to still drag. I was just looking to see what I see on Google Now right now. I really want to see be able to just reorder things. I want to be able to drag, you know, why is it not showing me the weather up top all the time? Because that's what I want. How do I teach it that?
And I mean, it's clear anytime that you travel that it'll do the cool things of, you know, time at home and local and home weather and stuff like that. But when it says, you know, I open Google Now when I'm on the train on the way to the airport and it knows that I have a flight upcoming, you know, stop showing me traffic times to go home. It's like, obviously I don't want to go home. You know that I'm going somewhere else. You know, those are the kind of hiccups that show that Google Now is not as smart as it, you know, people may think, and it's an evolving thing, you know, every single day.
I guess what we should mention as well is it's also pretty good for Android Wear, because anything that pops up in Google Now potentially has the ability to get mirrored to your watch as well.
Or any other wearable devices. I think you nailed it. The next iteration of Google on your face could really benefit from this sort of thing.
What do you know, Jerry? What can you tell us?
Well, I know that they've invested billions of dollars in Google Glass, and they're not going to let that die.
Yeah.
They're not done yet. They're going to have to try to figure out something. Maybe it'll be a great big cardboard thing. Your head actually goes inside an Amazon box.
Oh, speaking of Amazon, I'll have the Amazon speaker finally on Monday. From everything I've read, it sounds like I'll be done with it by, like, Wednesday.
The Echo.
Yeah. It kind of ties into Google Now a little bit. I mean, it doesn't, but same vein, right? Like,
why do you hate yourself?
What?
What do you? It's just nothing. I hope you love your Amazon speaker. I hope it's everything you dreamed it could be.
I bet it sounds nice.
I'll put it up here next to the Nexus Q. It'll find a nice place on the boy. It's hiding. Hang on. Can I reach it? There you go.
Wait, what box was that? That was the M9.
Maybe. Yep. No. GWASR.
Stealth box.
Stealth box. It's a black box. What's in it? I wonder how many of those boxes actually have devices in it. Probably a couple. Why did I buy a Lytro?
They're fun.
I'm going to go back to that you hate yourself.
They never made an Android app, but they're fun.
Yeah. That was a refurb. I got cheap. What else should we talk about?
I guess we'll get to this later next. Well, we'll have an article in more depth later this week. We published something on it today. Got my hands on the Samsung Z1. Last few days, the Tizen phone.
Hold it up again.
It's kind of tiny. I mean, it's a low-end phone.
Show us how thick that thing is. Good Christ. Thick.
Wow!
It looks like the Galaxy A3.
A little bit. I mean, it's more of the old style Samsung design that is very much just a plastic Samsung phone, but it's not intended to compete with anything outside of the low end. You know, the Android One type stuff.
That's the new Samsung feature phone you have in your hands right there.
Pretty much. I mean, it's the thing to replace, you know, what Bardo was a couple of years ago, right? It's not, I said this in the piece today, it's really not intended to compete with Android, to strike a blow against Google in any kind of way. I mean, for starters, it has Google apps on there. you know, very basic YouTube thing. It's just essentially the YouTube web mobile app. In a window, there's a Google search app that's just a bar that pops up that dumps you into the browser as well. So it's got Google stuff on there. You can hook your Google accounts in. There's nothing in there that says this is Samsung going against Google. Obviously, they have more control over it. They're in the driving seat with what they want to put on here. They have their own Tizen market thing or Tizen store, whatever it's called, that is actually only available in India right now. So we'll have to see if we can take a look at that. Probably won't be possible, though. For the most part, it is just kind of a TouchWiz-like UI. A lot of colored circles. Pretty fast considering the hardware. Not a horrible experience to use. I think the biggest problem for this initially is going to be apps, especially compared to you have something like an entry-level Galaxy phone or Android One. You have the benefit of, you know, years and years of app development on there. Whereas Tizen is still, you know, struggling to gain traction and has been, you know, for years leading up to this first release.
Well, that's the first thing I thought of. This isn't trying to compete with Android. It's trying to compete with Lumia. That's who it has to.
I mean, it's trying to compete with Android in that Google is also targeting the low end, but it's not this step. You know, I don't see a stepping stone here where in the near future Samsung could suddenly turn around and ship this on the Galaxy S6 or S7. If that's going to happen, it's going to take years for it to get there. We're not there yet, and I don't think we're going to be there in the anytime soon.
I think what you've seen and what you wrote about this morning, Samsung can do anything they want with that phone. One of the first things they did is make sure the Google ecosystem is on board. I really don't think Samsung has this plot to get away from Google like a lot of people seem to. I think that both Samsung and Google are really, really happy with the money they each help each other make.
You know, I mean, what I'm reminded of is a couple of years ago when HTC came out with these Brew MP phones that looked a lot like, I guess, a Sense 4 at the time. I don't remember anybody freaking out about how HTC was ready to run away from Android and hated what Google was doing because they were making phones that looked similar to their Android phones but were low-end and had a different OS.
Maybe. I mean, you could argue HTC was never really in that dominant of a position for very long. They were there kind of in 2010, 2011, and it very quickly dropped off in favor of Samsung. But yeah, I guess that's a fair point.
Just going on the Q&A some more.
Uh-oh. He's got that look in his eyes.
Ryan Saldana wants to know, Patriots or Seahawks? I know Andrew's answer.
There's a football game? What?
I know Andrew's other answer. I'm going to say Seattle.
Good choice.
The only one.
Stella Toros. That's who wins at my house.
Let's see. Ryan also wants to know, any plans for more reviews on Android One devices? Not really.
No, I mean, we did the first gen of Android One. The thing with Android One is it's basically a kind of a white label type thing where the hardware is the same and they just change the shell that it's in and add some apps, and that's basically it. They call it a day. So we did the first one, or the first ones, the Micromax device that came out. If there is second generation, we'll take a look at that, I think. But the experience you get with the Micromax phone that's out in India is pretty much what you get on any of the first gen Android One devices.
Ashish, who, by the way, mentions that I got his name right, thank you, and you're welcome, says, what do you guys think about the whole Qualcomm-Samsung saga? Seems to me that Samsung wants to reduce costs by putting their own CPU in it and using overheating, which may or may not have happened as an excuse. No.
Reduce costs, what?
This happens all the time. I mean, just because somebody's saying that these chips didn't work and they have to, you know, basically have to fix them, or maybe they won't be ready in time, it happens. My concern is not what happens in testing or whether or not it has Snapdragon 810 or Exynos. I really do not care at this point. If that means major features are missing, that's one thing. And especially if that means major features we were promised are missing. But right now we're talking about a chip and a phone that, as far as, you know, for all intents and purposes, a phone that does not yet exist. It has not been announced. It's not being sold. They can have all the problems they want up until that point. Up until the point that it's hitting hands, either for consumer testing, which is, you know, given to us, or we're able to buy it, I don't care. They can have all the problems in the world. As long as they're fixed by the time the thing's announced and goes on sale, fine by me. That's what testing's for.
And the thing is, at that point, we won't know, you know, we won't be holding two of the same phone with different processors in it. We won't know the head-to-head, you know, performance and heat and all that stuff anyways. So you're going to get what you're going to get anyways.
And there's a big difference between my phone feels a little warm and my phone is overheating to the point that stuff's blowing up. Or that there's real thermal attenuation.
My advice...
said that because I wanted to say it.
My advice is don't believe anything you hear from anyone.
Yeah.
It'd be different.
No, he's right.
If they trotted engineers out there with numbers and this is how hot it gets in this device and this is how much surface area it has for heat dissipation, believe those numbers. But right now, you've got one side saying one thing, another side saying another thing, and a third side saying it works good for us. Don't believe any of them. Wait. We'll tell you if it works or not.
I will know next week because we've got the G-Flex 2 coming, and that's the first actual proper retail device that has this chip in, and we'll see how it performs. We'll see whether it burns a hole in my pocket.
I have a feeling it's going to perform just fine.
And didn't I say last week that if it's working in one phone and not working in another, that perhaps it's not the chip that's the problem? I mean, and that's not to say that it's the phone that's the problem either. These are very different things and very different devices.
Yep.
It's a non-story as far as I'm concerned.
I had a friend who put an engine from a Mustang in a Ford Pinto, and he got it to work, but it was not pretty, and it was not easy. It's just Samsung may need a little more in a certain area that it doesn't provide, or maybe everybody's just lying.
And I think on the business cost side of things, we think of Samsung using its, you know, quote-unquote own chips. Samsung's semiconductor business is separate from its mobile business, and they'll tell you that they compete with themselves. I mean, they will take Qualcomm. If Qualcomm can deliver them Snapdragon 810s in the quantity they want, and it does what they want at the price that they want, and it beats their own chip, then they're just going to go with Qualcomm. They're going to use what's best and what makes the most sense.
It's better than for them to sell a bunch of phones than it is to prop up their semiconductor business.
And I can guarantee that Qualcomm would happily have their processor in every Galaxy S6 or whatever future phone if they could.
That's all I have to say about that. Now, you know, if it was a Samsung Exynos phone running Microsoft Cyanogen on Google's MVNO, that would be a whole other thing. What day is the Super Bowl?
It'd be shaped like a it'd be shaped like a unicorn.
We were trying to figure out how to fit all those things in the headline yesterday. What day is the Super Bowl?
Oh, that's the show title right there.
That's totally the podcast title. What day is the Super Bowl? What time is the Super Bowl? Oh, man. You guys seen anything else in the Q&A? I might actually look through some emails while you're doing that.
Yeah, there's one here I want to address.
Yeah, do it.
Let me find it. Come on, stupid mouse. I hate this Mac Mini. Roy wants to know if I have anything I'm free to add to the discussion about the dimple on the Nexus 6 and the Moto X14 originally being fingerprint scanners. All I knew is that it was supposed to be, and it wasn't going to. I didn't know why. I didn't know anything about it. I just knew people at Motorola told me, hey, cool, it's going to be a fingerprint scanner. And then one day they said, oh, well, we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, Dennis Woodside, who's now at he was head of Motorola. He's now at PayPal.
Is that right? Dropbox? Was it Dropbox?
Dropbox.
CTO there, I think.
Yeah, so he did an interview with somebody, and I apologize. I forget where I read it, but I read it too. And yeah, he said, I'll tell you a secret. It was supposed to be a fingerprint scanner, and Apple bought the good company, and the ones that were left weren't that good.
And good for Motorola for not putting in one that's not as good and saying, screw it, we don't want one at all. I'm not going to name any names, but the one on the iPhone 5S and above does work better than others out there, even if it's not the most consistent thing in the world. So yes, why put in...
Samsung's was okay, but like what HTC had on the One Max was just horrendous.
I mean, Richard will tell you, he'll sing this thing's praises all day. The Huawei Mate 7 has a really, really good single touch-based, not swipe-based fingerprint sensor on the back. No idea where they're sourcing that from. I think they said it was some of their own technology. I'm not sure if it's entirely their own stuff, though. But it can be done. It's just a case of whether Motorola wanted to put the resources into it that maybe Huawei wanted to, you know, what their budget was for that phone.
And I've been using, I set up my Note 4 with the fingerprint scanner again to give it another run because I've been using several apps that support it now for logging in. And I think the biggest issue with that one is the size of the Note 4 makes it hard to reach your thumb down there and swipe it or even put your thumb on it at all. The technology seems to work just fine, and the scanner is accurate, and I don't need to re-swipe it a bunch of times. So, I mean, there are other ways to do it that aren't Apple's way.
Right.
But Apple nailed it pretty darn well for the first go, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before. I've got a lot of scars on my fingertips from a past life. And even the Apple one does not work very well for me. I there's no way I can ever just pick it up and it just works. I'm constantly fiddling with it. And I understand why. It's my finger's fault, not necessarily the hardware's fault. But the Note 4 one very rarely works for me. The S5 works. I don't get that. Hmm. But it's if you can't do the best, it's not always a bad decision if you skip it altogether.
It might have been a Google decision, too, by the way.
Sure.
I think it was Jason Howell from All About Android who first showed me that the Note 4, he would take and slide his thumb sideways instead of down. And he said that that made using it way nicer.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you think about how you're holding your phone and your thumb goes down like that, you know, yeah. at an angle, it you know, you're not doing this to right. unlock your phone. And I don't know, I don't know if it's the way that they loosened up their software to maybe, you know, adjust for you being at an angle or anything like that. But if you go through and you train it 10 times, then you go and retrain it, I don't get errors swiping my finger on the Note 4 right now.
Makes sense. I assumed that the Note 4 was a little bit tighter security than the S5. That's why it doesn't work so well for me, or the S5 did. But I don't know. Maybe it's like you said. Maybe it's position, and I'll have to try it.
And go figure, everybody's fingerprints are different, and so yep. it has issues recognizing every finger in the world.
Yep.
Let me look at some emails. David, his friend's wife has a Moto G 2013. His wife has a Moto G 2014. Both of them got updated. Now they can't receive picture messages in Google's Messenger app. I switched my wife to Hangout, and now she gets them, but my friend's wife is still not working.
APNs?
Yeah,
it will be. Take a look at the post we did for the Nexus 6 a couple weeks ago, where we were looking at the issues in the Google Messenger app with sending MMSs. Could be it's a similar kind of issue. That it seems to be that in certain situations with certain carriers, the Google Messenger app doesn't really know what APN to use or picks the incorrect one automatically. The solution for that is to either use a different app, like Hangouts seems to work just fine in that case, or you go into the APN settings and basically get rid of all the ones that you don't need. There's a walkthrough on AC that'll tell you how to do that.
Messenger was updated yesterday. I didn't see anything special there, but check it again, maybe?
Neither did I. It's, you know, it should be a known issue, you would imagine, so yeah. See if it's still doing it.
Cool. James has a Nexus 5, and since the update to 5.0 won't make it through the workday without stopping to charge it for an hour, though I constantly use it while at work, I'm looking for a low-cost replacement unlocked. I'd like to be able to order it off Amazon, walk into T-Mobile, switch SIM cards, and go on my way. Should I look at Blue or Xiaomi or LG?
Moto G? Yeah, I think so.
I mean, it's just how cheap and what are your other requirements is the big thing. I'd be inclined to say Moto G for everyone if they don't give me more stringent requirements right. on what you need.
You know, if you're thinking about buying a phone from Blue, and I'm not knocking the phones from Blue at all, go with the known name in Motorola with the Moto G. I mean, you know what you're in for, maybe more so than with a product from Blue.
Was the 2014 Moto G LTE?
No. No,
not yet. Not in the U.S.
So they released an 19 version of the old one.
Right. So keep that in mind. Where did my email go? Let's see. Daniel asks, are developers actually taking advantage of the battery saving APIs available in Lollipop? Lollipop arrives for my original Moto X, will Project Volta greatly increase my battery life? Maybe.
I mean, right now, I probably want to say for the vast majority of apps, probably not. And any changes you do see will be if Motorola or your OEM or whoever have built that kind of, you know, those kind of features into the OS and their built-in apps. Third-party stuff, you're probably going to be waiting a while, I think.
It certainly hasn't helped my 2014 Moto X from turning into a brick at like 9 p.m. every day.
Mm. Yeah, I've not known a single device to be updated to Lollipop, and, you know, out of the straight away, I've noticed better battery life. It's tended to be more or less the same, or, you know, in the case of the Nexus 5, actually quite a little bit worse.
So you guys all got Lollipop on your M8s this week, I think, and a couple of you have been using them. Have you noticed anything different on battery? I'm still getting to the end of the day, and if I've got, you know, 20% left, it's probably been a good day. Well, I mean, some days are better than others. Last night, I had a lot more left. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I was trying to... Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. Yeah, it's been pretty good on the whole. Battery life is about the same as it was on KitKat for me, and I've never had any issues with battery life on the M8 in general, so I'm perfectly happy with that. You know, the one thing that HTC did, I think, better than a lot of manufacturers upgrading last year's phones to Lollipop is they've kept a lot of the animations, so you've got lock screen notifications, but you also have the nice flowing animations when you jump from page to page. You have a nicely redesigned notification pane, you know, and quick settings and stuff. You know, you have the new overview section that's actually animated properly. They seem to have managed to merge material design into Sense in a way that maybe LG haven't with their UI, either through, you know, just experience or, you know, design shops or whatever. But that's what I've noticed from HTC, not battery life or performance or anything, just the fact that they've maybe had a little bit more experience with design, and they've managed to merge them, you know, the two design languages together to make things look a little bit better than either Samsung or LG.
Yeah, I'm actually really happy with the way that they handled their update from that perspective. They didn't, you know, you wouldn't pick up an M8 that's running Lollipop and just think you're in it on a different phone than if you picked one up before. And that's really good. I felt right at home after the update, and battery life's been fine, 15 to 20% at the end of the day, which is the same as I expected on KitKat. So I don't know. I'm happy with it, and I'm using it. It's still very smooth, and, you know, all the animations are still good, like Alex said. So I'm much more happy with this update than what happened on my Moto X.
Unfortunately, there's no silver bullet for the camera, though, or just the fact that the M8 is kind of slippery and not particularly easy to hold.
Yep.
Yeah.
The camera's still pretty bad.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
My Z3 Compact says I haven't worried about the battery since I took it out of the box.
Yeah. I'm just gonna sit here and say yeah.
You know, that's part of the deal. I mean, it's a phone that's coming around on a year old, so.
And look, there's some stuff that no software update is gonna fix in that thing.
Sure.
I have to wait and see what they do with the next gen of stuff.
Yep. Yeah. The things that they could improve, they improved, and the stability in the software didn't get worse in any way, from my perspective.
Mm. Yeah. All right, that sounds like a good place to stop it then. To stick a fork in it, if you will. Anyone disagree?
No.
There's some kind of Microsoft Sanogen joke there, if you
talk. No, there's not. No, there's not. Fine. If you want to email us, you can do that, podcast@androidcentral.com. You can also just find us on the social things. Just search for Android Central. Search for all our names as well, because for most of us, that's what we're using. Like Andrew, for instance, you search for Andrew Martinick and you will find him.
Probably, yeah.
As we are every week, we are also brought to you by shopandroid.com. What kind of cool stuff? We're ramping up on accessory reviews again. What kind of cool stuff you guys have floating around? All right. Good job.
I'm just trying to
get a couple of Note 4 cases.
I'm trying to think of the coolest thing I have here.
Andrew's been looking at some Note 4 wireless charging stuff, right?
Yeah, I've got both. Well, we put up a third-party little insert thing that you stick underneath the battery or underneath the battery cover and kind of compare and contrasted with the Samsung's own one.
Are those any good now? Because last time I used one, it was pretty crap.
In both cases, they're annoying. The Samsung one is thicker, and now I understand why it's thicker, because sticking this little card underneath, you know, the Note 4 wasn't meant to have wireless charging underneath the back, and that's why it's not there. And so you put this little card under there, now it's thicker, and it blocks NFC, and it just kind of, you know, it's going to be a compromise. Just whenever you stick something else underneath the battery cover, that's not supposed to be there. But it does work. You put it under there, and you don't have to plug your phone in anymore. So
it's probably the best solution you're going to get if you want a removable battery.
Cool. So that's what's in the store now.
Wow. Nexus 6 accessories are starting to finally make their way in.
Oh, good.
I know Joel's been working hard getting them in there, and they're getting there.
Awesome. All right, well, when we reconvene, it will be February. We will be in full Global World Congress preparation mode.
We should have a couple more new devices to talk about next podcast time.
Yes.
Well, I should. So
you will.
Yeah.
Cool. Alex, Andrew, Jerry, Russell, thank you. Everybody at home, thank you. Woo! Everybody listening live, we see you. Hello.
Thank you, live listeners.
Do the Queen of England wave.
Oh, you're doing it all wrong.
Tell him. You'll never be in the monarchy.
You're not sitting in a gold carriage.
You'll never usurp the throne, Phil. You'll never usurp the throne.
Fine.
But I will stand outside your house in a big furry hat and not move.
And on that note, see y'all next week.
See you later.
Adios.
That outstanding episode of the Android Central podcast you just listened to was brought to you by Igloo Software. Give your company an intranet it'll actually want to use. Just go to igloosoftware.com/android.